All of this is wasted if we can't show impact or have an impact on others.
All of us have a story to tell.
It's about impact. It's about mentorship.
Entrepreneurs coming together to say, I have a journey of my own. That journey is not perfect, but I want to see if there's things that I've learned that I can impart on others.
From the Lucha Podcast Network, this is the Mash Startup Podcast. The Mash Startup Podcast profiles the most talented creators, impactful entrepreneurs, and high-performing professionals with the purpose to drive insights, learnings, and tactics to help you build the things that you believe in.
So, I guess, like, I'd be curious to hear very early on, what does day one look like for Sweet South?
Whoa. Day one was like a very loose plan, I think. So, you know, we obviously started Sweep South off of the back of the experience that we had, like personal experience as a couple, trying to look for someone to help us at home very last minute and sort of being left in quite a tight situation with our nanny basically leaving and saying, like, try and find a replacement. And then, you know, thinking, having that sort of evolve into thinking about building a solution to those sorts of situations for people like ourselves, but at the same time also trying to address issues around unemployment or underemployment for women who work in homes, women and men who work in homes. And so, like, day one of that, we've built very, I think, intentionally been very iterative about how we build things. And I think if we try to envision, like, building what Sweep South looks like today in the first few weeks, months, whatever, and you know, try to, like, practically work towards it, it wouldn't have worked. So it was scrappy. It was that Google form that we sent out when we had the idea to friends and family to be like, hey, we're thinking of doing this. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we right in the beginning, we were set out, if I recall, just to try solve that one big issue, and that was discovery quickly. And what is discovering, you know, what is discovery here? It meant I need to find someone, you know, last minute to help me out. I'm in a bit of a tricky situation. And you're like, well, that's quite innocent, and sure, is that really a business? We don't know, but we know it's a real problem, right? Mm. It's a problem for just, as we say, I should say, sending out a Google form to a bunch of people. You realize very quickly they have the same issue. The thing with that, of course, is that as fast that's where business started, and you realize very quickly there's a lot more to it, like a lot more you could actually do that's even maybe even more powerful from an economics perspective and that. But I like that Aisha actually mentioned kind of a business plan we had initially. We should definitely touch on that, because that was one of the greatest moments as a reminder for me today, is because I think about 2 weeks ago, we managed to unpack a few things and found this lean canvas that was meant to represent what's
the business model canvas.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Here is the kicker. Not a single thing on that thing was right. I think if you flipped a coin, you would have done better. Maybe that's a good lesson for others who are maybe a bit cautious about thinking, but do I need to be right, and how right do I need to be? I can say for Sweep South, on day one of planning of what this was going to be, we couldn't have been more wrong on the planning front.
So
was more important.
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of,
yeah.
Like what is the problem that you're trying to solve, rather than like all of the steps that we think are going to get us to that solution.
Yeah. How did you figure out how big the problem actually was, right? So everyone talks about, you know, I really found a problem that I really cared about and I really wanted to solve it. How do you figure out that, you know what, this is big enough to actually turn into a startup?
Yeah.
And more so, it can actually have impact on a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one, because again, it's not easy. And I think it's also important to say that when you are coming from the point of view as someone who's had a bit of experience building these things, so many questions that I think a new founder would be like, what's the straight answer? There's no straight answer, like, unfortunately, which is also the beauty of doing all of this stuff. So, you know, with addressable market as another example of that, we had a sense that this was big in the sense that, you know, we looked at how many domestic workers there are in the country. There are 1 million for a population of 60 million people. It's almost 2% like of, you know, the population. That's a big, you know, that feels like a big problem. Mm. If you just think about your own experiences growing up at home and having someone who helps you there, again, you know, like, it feels like something that I can identify with because I've had that experience. So it feels like something that's probably common in a lot of households. But it's so difficult to try and get an accurate measure of addressable market, especially with innovative technologies, because in many ways, firstly, you're building for a future that you can't really fully predict. Mm. Secondly, in many ways, your innovation changes that. Mm. You know, so it's like the Uber example with the New York taxi cabs, and, you know, that professor who kind of went, well, Uber could only be as big as the New York taxi cab industry. Mm. Well, no, like, that doesn't work.
You're measuring it against the existing data. But, yeah. As even, I think, I'm just trying to use an analogy, pirates going into the unknown waters, it's, they don't know what's there, mm. but they have the courage, which they did, mm. to discover new lands, to discover new technologies, to get them over the uncharted territories. It's very much that you don't necessarily know, but what you know is that if I'm solving a real problem here, is that gonna uncover something that is a lot bigger? And that's what I think takes good eyes and entrepreneur to realize that you need to have a very open mind and have open eyes to where you're going with this. And because, as we say, when we talk about just discovery, that we built in as a mechanism in the early days, and the, you know, just almost being the service for just stepping in when something goes wrong in your household. Oh, yeah. my cleaner's not there. Can you help me? It's a niche market, right?
Yeah.
But we realized very quickly that, yeah, it's a niche market, but it gets us into the doors to talk to real people and beyond friends, right?
Mm.
Once you do that, and I cannot overstate the importance of really just talking to people, is you will learn that initial discovery in our case, which was a discovery, lands up being that, like, but there's a much bigger ongoing opportunity here. And then all of a sudden we realize, well, that's where the Sweep South subscription model comes in, where we've got the ongoing cleaning, which is, you know, majority of our business. It came from that, but we wouldn't have seen it right up front.
Yeah.
It needed following that route, you know, jumping onto that pirate ship and going into the mist, and just having a bit of courage to do that. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I think also just trying to think about it, and I think this is why it's important to try and solve challenges in spaces where you understand that you start to understand the problem space really well. So, you know, you start to think about what are the trends that will help to drive growth of this industry or growth of the business that we're wanting to build. And so some of the bets that we made, for example, was that you'd have increasing penetration of smartphones. And that would facilitate more people on the customer and service provider side being interested in and able to use the platform that we were building. So I think you've also tried, you know, you try as much as you can to get into the headspace of, like, these are the bets that I'm, like, banking on that will influence how successful or not the business will be. But, you know, it's a number of data points. There's no certainty. I think you've got to look at, like, a top-down approach. You've got to look at a bottom up. You've got to look at, like, what are the things that I believe about the way the world is going to look like, or the way I want the world to look like, to help you try and get to that. Yeah.
Right. Right. So I think Paul Graham in one of his essays called it, you know, seeing into the future.
Mm.
It's such a necessary thing, I think, for even if it's just hypothesis and you think this is what it's going to look like, you've got to make those bets because, to that concrete example in Sweep South, it was the massive part of the equation making it work. And that was that we took a bet that cell phone, the inexpensive, as you said, smartphones coming into the picture within a space of a year to 18 months would be, it literally flipped in numbers. So meaning that like 20% of people coming into to get onboarded on the Swiftsight platform, 20% had smartphones. These entry level smartphones.
In 2014,
In 12 to 18 months from there, the number was 80%. That's a massive impact on the outlook of what the business now can do from a scale perspective, and how it can manage people using that technology and all of that. Without it, it wouldn't have happened. But we took a bet it would. As an example, maybe to try sort of get the sort of mental model around that. For us, it was just seeing where mobile phones were going, right? Mm. And we could tell that China started producing at that moment really inexpensive but solid phones, maybe not with the best GPS hardware to be able to locate, to be able to know exactly where the person is, but that wasn't necessary initially. But what was necessary for sure was that the phone was capable of being able to deliver what we were trying to do in order to make a great customer experience.
And then you've got to have the conviction to back up some of those bets, which we also did. And I think that's also an important element of being an entrepreneur, is like you have these bets. They definitely are bets. There's like not a high level, there's never 100% certainty, but you've got to back that up. And so the thing that we did when we started to see these trends was on day one, people don't have access to these phones, but we're going to give them access. And so I remember Vodacom had like this super, I think it was the cheapest in the market smartphone that they were
Themselves. That's smart, what it was called. Yeah, the very first version. It was. Yeah.
And it was, it was an early attempt at sort of a low cost smartphone.
Android OS phones, absolutely.
And we were like, look, we're going to take out, I think we started with 30 contracts
and then 60.
That we backed ourselves and then 60 and took out like 2-year contracts for those phones. But those are the sorts of things that, we felt comfortable doing.
And this is the perfect example of like, but that doesn't scale. You're like, well, this is the kind of concrete example of like, do things that don't scale. Why are you doing them? Because I can see into the future that we won't have to do this in a year time from now. But then what do? Wait for a year? No, you don't. you get some duct tape, you get some glue, you stick these things together and get through that year, but you learn so much through that. You improve the technology. You talk to people during that time, which is the most important.
I think entrepreneurship and like ideas are about making a bet on yourself. And you guys have used this word bet as well, just around the thinking and just like the initial just conceptualization. So making a bet over and over again about an idea that you have, or your perspective on the world, and solving a specific problem over and over again until you die or thrive, right?
Yeah.
And you guys have thrived. But what would you say was something that you made a bet on very early on that like really felt like something that could actually just make you stop doing this or trying at all? Was there challenges like very early on that made you question whether or not this was the right one? Because I'm sure you guys have had a lot of different ideas. But this is the one that you kept on making a bet on.
Yeah.
Or was that, were the early challenges, was like, okay, maybe not this one?
Yeah, so I mean, our first idea was not Sweep South. Like, and I think that's also important to say. Like, the first idea, we liked two-sided marketplaces because we like the idea of using technology to solve two problems or for problems for two different groups at the same time. And it's difficult, so if you solve it, you're also creating a moat for yourself. But the first business was a travel marketplace. And we wrote a 60-page business plan for it.
We still have that too.
Which we still have. And it was called Shift South, which is also what our business is still registered at, because we registered that business. And then after writing it, we were like, we don't have that level of conviction that we want to have around personally the industry, what technology is going to do to help drive the industry, particularly within Southern Africa.
We love traveling, but what do we know about traveling? Not much. Do we, are we passionate about solving that problem? No. Okay, maybe a bad idea.
Yeah. So we canned it, the idea, and just, you know, back to the drawing board. And then there were a couple of challenges even within SweepSout that made us think, I don't think that made us think, you know, this is not going to work, but we're sort of big, do we push ahead with this and try and solve for this, or does this mean that it's not the right thing? And so I think, I mean, some of the things we're just looking at, you know, the areas and trying to solve the supply-demand imbalance problems. And again, like having to solve it in a very manual way until we'd started to build up some sort of volume and network effects within a particular area. So until we did that, we were driving sweep stars around in our cars. We were doing cleaning jobs ourselves.
Handing out pamphlets at Stanford Drive. No, at Santon Drive, right?
Yeah, corner of William Nicol and Santon Drive.
That's it.
Those liars. Yeah. And they were trying to get some local.
Yeah, there was a major intent to that, and I think it was kind of smart at the time. Now that I think about it, we realized we could hand that over to someone. Like, I mean, come on, let's be efficient here. It's all about efficiency, right? Just hand it over to someone else, 100 Rand, 200, 300, 400 Rand, whatever it is. Here you go, please hand out these flyers. Super easy to students or whatever, and we're done. But we realized, but do you know how long those folks stand in the traffic during peak at those traffic lights? Good few minutes. Mm. Do you know what kind of conversation I can have in a couple of minutes? Especially if we practice, you know, like you practice your pitch, right? So you were talking about maybe, you know, it's important to, you know your business quite well to be able to pitch it, you know, like as an elevator pitch kind of thing, right? Very quickly. There's no greater test than that, but a place where you can rapidly test it because there's so many cars, right, driving through in a day. Well, being able to pitch someone 30 seconds on what this is and still get to ask them a question on top of that, where you try to draw some information out on how what their behaviors are or usage patterns of these sort of services are in their own household. Mm. It's invaluable. It's far greater. So then all of a sudden you say, well, this would have cost me 400 Rand, but I'm actually saying I got value out of this that is far greater in, if you could have somehow maybe assign a Rand value, a far greater value. So I think that's kind of necessary in early stages, but even now, I think we encourage our team all the time that you have to talk to customers, have to talk to sweep so stars, important. Have to... Yeah. Because the world's changing, we're not perfect. We know we've got a lot more to get even more right. Different countries just throws a completely different sort of variables into the equation that you have to work with, which is also a big challenge. And it's just knowing that, you know, it's the fly thing is always a good reminder because you've got to say to yourself, well, when does that go away? And I'm like, in my opinion, probably never. It might not be flyers, but it'll be another shape or form of flyers, right? Where you've always got to be kind of close to the ground, understanding, are we still solving a real problem? Are we not solving something as well as we could and we should? Yeah.
Was there ever... maybe not as early, but like just in the growth process, that, you know, a defining moment of conviction in the idea, the problem that you're solving, the team you're building, and where you guys were going? Because I feel like most founders, it's very hard to have that level of conviction. Yeah. It's like, okay, there is no other plan. This is it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like that thing of like, when do you like burn the bridge kind of thing? Because I'm not going back. There is a tipping point, I must say. Do you remember what it was? For you, like,
I mean, there wasn't a moment, right? Like one singular thing, but I think some of the things that were super encouraging were the first investors who came on board who had also been operators and entrepreneurs themselves, and just hearing, you know, the level of sort of trust and excitement that they had about the business was super encouraging, and then also like the first team members who joined. And our first hire was a guy who had studied with me before and who'd, you know, been in the lab with me. My background's in human genetics, and he was like so keen to join. I think he even applied via the Sweepstar application link.
Exactly. And I made that short as a tweet intentionally to see how creative people could be being able to sell themselves in a tweet.
Yeah.
And he did a marvelous job of that.
Yeah.
And we knew that there was, and the fact that he hacked the form as in the, used that as the approach to apply for a job was, you know, gave us great confidence to really chat and see where this goes.
Yeah. And then I think the feedback from early customers, but even more so Sweepstars. I think when you have people saying this is so different to how I've experienced work before, and I'm so grateful that you guys exist. I think it's just, you know, it's incredibly powerful.
This is my hacking.
No worries, man.
Cool.
So the alarm is like a 20-minute alarm.
Oh, no worries.
Okay.
Yeah, good, man.
I actually wanted to turn off that pinging.
Okay.
Is it okay? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I do have something to finish on that. Like, I've got a very important thing to say.
Please do.
There was a tipping point for me where there was no going back. Like, absolutely no going back. And that's when I realized, as one would have their own children, and so that's your dependence, and you care about them. We started having dependence. And the dependence here being specifically, I'm going to turn towards to say our service providers, the cleaners, the Sweepstars. Once we, you know, had, can't remember the exact number, 20 to 50, and you could clearly see that they're starting to have serious income that's making a difference in their own household. There was no going back. Because you just can't quit this, you know what I mean? Like, we can see that, like, people really need this,
it's
and they depend on making,
yeah.
on putting food on the table. In these scenarios, people really have, like, multi-generational families living in the household. So now you know, like, if you need a, what do you call it, like, some kind of a drive, there's no stronger drive than waking up in the morning to say, like, we have people here that we have to create work for.
Yeah.
And there's nothing stronger. Like, so those numbers just started growing, and as they did, there was even more importance in ensuring that we, in sort of analogous terms, burn that bridge on our side to say it's not going back. There's no work.
Yeah.
There's no job. This is it.
Yeah.
I can't.
And it's something we go back to, like, in the most difficult times that we face as a business, like as founders, continuously, when we feel like, I mean, there's so many moments where it's just like, this is so hard and this feels so horrible right now. The most recent one being, like, you know, pandemic, sort of onset of the pandemic, level 5 lockdown. And it was like, how are we going to do this? And we go back to the fact that there are thousands of people who have households of thousands more people who depend on us. Like, you have to make
it's no longer you anymore. It's not anymore like, it's like, well, what are you gonna do? Like, what's your next thing? Like, I mean, here, like, we've got a huge, huge dependency of people that need this, you know, like, and anything that doesn't work goes straight to this, you know, it's straight to, like, we've got to solve this problem, you know, whatever it is, because and the pandemic one maybe we'll get to, maybe we'll touch on, because there's some really important key learnings there for businesses ours.
Yeah.
What we've had to do, we had to do so many things that, you know, out of ordinary to, you know, still make it happen and ensure, like, what will thousands of, you know, cleaners, gardeners do that now don't have income during that, especially that hard lockdown.
Yeah.
What do we do? And we had to do some extraordinary things to, on the customer front, on the investor front, on a, you know,
how do you, front. How do you sort of process and manage that, right? So, now it's not just you, it's not just you and your idea in your room, it's not just you, your idea and your sort of pitch deck and small the business model canvas.
Yeah.
Like, people depend on you, you've got a team, more than a team, you've got the Sweepstars.
Right.
How do you manage that pressure of saying, hey, this is not just me alone and this is cool anymore? It's like, hey, this is serious. There's people that are looking at you and going, hey, this is the platform I need.
Yeah.
Not necessarily want. It's no longer just like, oh, this is a cool app. It's like, hey, I depend on this for my livelihood and this helps me do something. And there's people that work for you guys that are part of your team that very much similar depend on the company's survival to exist as well. How do you even begin to process that?
Yeah.
difficultly. I've got a few suggestions. So in personal terms, you know, I realized that stakes only get bigger, so they don't get smaller. So my hope always was in the beginning was like, jeepers, this is hard. It will get easier. Trust me, this is fine. It never does. It never does.
Yeah.
The moment you come down to that realization, and yes, now you've got a great team and smart people. That's fantastic. But now you've got to turn to yourself personally and start asking questions. So it's like, and that's really introspection around like, who is Alan? Who is Aisha? What's going to make a strong Alan, strong Aisha,
yeah.
You know, physically, mentally. And we started working on ourselves,
yeah.
Especially in the last few years,
yeah.
Which has been a massive contributor,
yeah.
To be able to, you know, see this through for a much longer period, be able to be okay with the pressure that's on without, you know, kind of collapsing under that pressure because the weight is immense, right? As a startup, money question is always there, right? You know, until you reach profitability and that. And it's really immense. So it's like, and I think it's those, and we can maybe touch on what some of our techniques have been on that. Like for myself, very much physical training has been, I've never trained more physically in my life and I've never been in better shape than now, which is kind of weird. You're like, well, aren't you working hard in Sioux South? Surely it's the opposite. It would be. My parents have taught me something there is that it's always been, they said, like, when the times are hard and the toughest, you've got to be physically the strongest because you're going to need it. And mentally. So, you know, for me, it's physical training on that one part. The other one is a bit of meditation I've introduced into my life. And Aisha's been phenomenal in that. I've got a long way to go on that front too. And getting some personal coaching as well, like life coaching, as a more recent note.
Yeah.
If you can maybe touch on that further.
Yeah, yeah, no. So, I mean, yeah. I think. I mean, we're also a couple as well as being co-founders, yeah. And I think it works so well in so many ways in our case, but also when things are super hard, it can feel terrible in a household because both of you are bearing that burden, and I think. Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, we just had the realization that, like, we've got to make sure that we as individuals are strong so that whatever it is that happens, we're able to sort of take it on. And so, yeah, those things, I mean, in addition to what Alan said, so, you know, physical strength, emotional strength, intellectual strength, but also, yeah, meditation, you know, the spiritual side. I think it's very easy for entrepreneurs to connect their self and self-worth and everything to a business. And if your business fails, then there's nothing, right? And that's not the case. Or if something bad happens within your business, it, you know, by extension, you then are a bad person or worthless or whatever. And that should never be the case. And it's almost contradictory because on the one hand, the mission is so important. And when you do these things, the purpose and the mission becomes even more important. But you have this sort of internal strength and guide that means that, you know, you're strong regardless of what happens externally. And I think another thing is also just having your purpose and what the business does be very aligned. Like there's alignment, and everything is, you know, unidirectional with investors, with team members, with customers, with sweepstars, with ourselves as founders, because otherwise, when you have difficulties, you're on top of that dealing with the conflict of now trying to satisfy, you know, unaligned or misaligned parties, which is incredibly stressful.
The additional energy that it will add on top of this would be probably just unbearable.
So like that's, you know, I think the best businesses are also businesses where what's good for the business is good for everyone else. Then you just have to focus on one thing. Mm. Like if we just focus on growth and that is net positive for everyone, it solves so many other challenges because it's like just grow and everyone will be happy. You know, Sweepstars will be happy because you're doing the right thing, it's aligned with your purpose and mission, and you know, customers, team, everyone else,
right.
So that was another thing I think that we had to make sure is like there's just this alignment and everyone's on the same page.
You know, you speak about purpose and mission, and obviously working for a startup and also just being obsessed with them, this is always at the core of everything they do, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we have this very clear mission.
Yeah.
We also have principles and values that govern how we behave.
Yeah.
And all these things. What's the process of actually developing those things? Mm. What do you think Sweep South's mission is? Mm. And what would be the ultimate version of what success is to tick that box?
Do you want to go? Do you want me to go?
You can go. It's a beautiful set of questions.
It is. It is. And I'm super excited. Yeah, yeah. So I think vision, mission, and values come from founders. They come from your ideal behaviors. Like, I think it's okay for some of those things to be aspirational as well. I think there's no world in which the founders, and no company in which the founders are an absolutely perfect reflection of culture, mission, yeah. vision. I think it's impossible. And then I think it's trying to crystallize what are the things that are important for you in terms of your values and purpose, and what makes sense with the business that you're trying to build, and putting those into a set of rules or behaviors for the business. For Sweep South, our mission is really around using technology to create high trust connections between customers in the context of the home and service providers who do work within those homes. And in doing that, to particularly on the service provider side, to improve access to employment opportunities, financial and digital inclusivity,
education,
not just in South Africa, but on the rest of the continent, and actually in, you know, in emerging and developed markets across the world. And that has to speak to what, you know, drives us, or what we feel excited about as human beings as well. Yeah. So Alan and I both come from, I guess everyone comes from a difficult background in some or other way.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, my parents, apartheid activists, anti-apartheid activists, you know, your parents, immigrants, coming from a war-torn country.
That's it.
I think the idea of just making your work purposeful is something that's important to us. And that has bled through into the business. And then I think as you start having your first hires as well, they also start to sort of have an impact on what the company culture is. And I think that's something people often miss, is like, you know, how the first 10, call it, employees in the business also influence culture.
Yeah, just reflecting on this, a lot of this is very evolutionary. It shouldn't be a surprise, right? But then this is the thing of, like, that people shouldn't overthink starting something. I think it's been said many times, like, just start, you know, like, you'll figure it out. That is the reason, is because even culture, a lot of the stuff will come from the early DNA of what do we stand for and all of that. But as you mentioned, those early, I think, steps with some of our great early employees definitely brought in some, you know, parts to our DNA of what the culture would be and what it is today. So it's such an important thing, and I think just never be scared to kind of learn, right? And that's the thing, is that I see it, like, you got to be okay with being vulnerable. It's such a big thing, and it's like, I don't know if I was in the early days, but now I am totally like that. Like, I know that we're not going to know all the answers. We make mistakes today big time, you know, like, and we just are okay with that. We're like, look at it, and we say, like, what does this mean? What have we learned? Oh, that, fantastic. We know exactly what to do with this next time, or how to adjust course from here, which is super important. And I'm wondering how much kids, like, so we obviously have kids. We've had one child when we started Sweep South, and now we have three. I'm wondering how much of that had influence on us, because I find, the reason I mentioned is I find that, you know, I find that I get a bit of a higher sense of humility knowing that, like, kids will tear your hair out at times, and you've got to be okay with being composed, knowing that you love them, and many things like that. And I think there's a lot of benefit to that in business, because, yeah, it just teaches your heart to be more calmer and assess the situation. Which is what you got to do as a parent, right? Like, in the beginning, I didn't care any about it. That it was just like, we've got one child. It's like, you just hack it, you make it work, and it's all great. But I find part of that, I don't know, has quite a big influence on how you approach business now. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. And I think gives you a perspective that doesn't make your business it doesn't make your business less important, but it gives you a perspective into how important the other parts of your life are to being successful, which ultimately contributes positively to the way that you run your business.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
You guys are sort of one of those startups that's not just providing a service and getting paid, you're also driving impact, right? So you've got about, and if I get the number wrong, please tell me, 13,000 Swoop stars on there now. How do you look at what growth looks like from here on? The platform sort of expanded into not just home cleaning, but like, you know, so many other fields as well. How do you, look at growth? What does growth look like for the next 5-10 years? And expansion as well.
Yes, I mean, we've worked with 30,000 Swoop stars. I mean, 6,000 or 7,000, primarily in South Africa, but also in Kenya, Nigeria, and Egypt on a monthly basis, working through the platform. We've branched out into gardening services, artisanal services, so electricians, plumbers, handymen. Through the Egyptian business, we have beauty services, which we're rolling out in South Africa within the next month or two. And growth is really along the lines of, internationally new markets where these problems exist and haven't adequately been solved. And then also new product verticals. And as much as you have domestic workers and nannies, and cleaners who are underemployed or unemployed, there's the guy who's standing on the side of the road with the sign saying, I can paint your house or, or do plumbing work or whatever, who's just like, it's just the most inefficient way to try and find work. And so there are lots of problems on the service provider side as well that we look forward to addressing. But I think, and you also asked about what success means to us. Like it's iterative, because I think having the goal, a goal and a definition of success and a BHAG and all that stuff is very useful in terms of, you need to have the destination and you have the road that takes you there. But I always like to create space for more optionality. I think question marks allow for infinite opportunities. So I rather try and think of success as like, how do I make today a good day? And then tomorrow, how do I make, today a good day? How do I make... And I think when you build it like that, you'll get to your ultimate goal, but it's so much more exciting because you're not closed to other opportunities, because you're thinking like this is the way that everything has to unfold.
Exactly. But success for most parts is not path dependent, so that's absolutely key there, because it does mean that you can get to that destination in many different ways. It's an important realization, and that's why sometimes reading a business book isn't going to give you the answers, because usually it's someone's path and you're like, well, that's one path, that's great, and it may be very much in context of time dependency, right, which is important. And that's why some of these, it's good to read other stories and all of that for maybe inspiration, and a few other elements, but ultimately it comes down to just walking that path for sure. So success is very much from our perspective of getting as many people as we can to genuinely be able to reflect on the countries we operate in, to actually see quantitative and qualitative difference in those markets. So you can actually say, these people who are previously unemployed are working, on a daily basis. They've got work, they're putting food on the table. We've given them access through... It's a beautiful thing about marketplaces is that you start getting access to bulk kind of deals and that kind of stuff with other service providers that individuals just wouldn't have access to. So all of a sudden you can be like, well, that airtime costs you, a fraction of that than usual, or you've got access to this, let's say, financial literacy program that costs you nothing, or and those kind of factors that really come with the network effect that I think are absolutely critical. So yeah, where to from here? Africa continent is obviously very dear to our heart. We're operating in those four countries now, and recently with acquisition in Egypt, which is super important and we're very excited about. But it's other continents as well. South America is on the map, you know, later this year or early next year. And again, similar conditions, right? You've got these problems that are very evident there that either people have attempted at solving or have just not solved at all. And we see a big opportunity there to make a difference. So it's great. Yeah.
What's one thing that you've learned the most about yourself from building this?
Oh. you love asking those questions. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think like just so a lot of what I've learned is from sort of personal introspection that has come through the difficulties of building a business, but are very personal and not necessarily about me as a CEO or whatever, but just me as a human being. So I think some of the things are, firstly, how stubborn I am, and how I can, that can be good or bad. Again, that notion of like just self-worth without needing to, you know, without accomplishment. And then the last thing, just like around the importance of purpose and how much energy I can have and how many hours in the day I can have if what I'm doing in that day is aligned with what's important to me.
Yeah, I think for me it's very much that. It's the alignment of like purpose to the energy that I exert, in this universe, and it, you just, I think over time, get better at determining how to spend that energy wisely on the business, on family, on friends and that. And I think to me, that's just become, it's come such a long way. Like I'm a different person in that sense that I can now target that energy in a very specific manner. And I think to get the best out of it, not for myself selfishly, but necessarily, but I think the others around me, right? Like just if I'm interacting with great people, around us in this world, it's important to, leave this, leave a great mark in them, mm-hmm. So, maybe the last one for me is just I've always had a hunger for learning, but now it's just gone to another level but on different fronts, right? So before it was like, computer science, it's everything. I love building. Let's just build great technology, sweeps out this technology, and that's what it's about. And let's talk about that, and let's convince others to join us. It's gone beyond that. It's not just only gone beyond that, philosophical manner, which is great too. But I've got great interest in understanding the physical world around us in a much greater intellectual, detailed way. And I'm doing an applied physics degree at the moment. You'll be saying, where do you find the time? That's a topic maybe for a completely different podcast, but like it would be interesting to unpack one day. But it's just that hunger now for learning, and then hopefully being able to do something with that. Now that we've figured out what a scale mean. How do we, learn more and use that to hopefully project it at scale and enable others to benefit from that? What a great way to leave this planet one day, that sense for me. It really is.
Last question. What is one thing you really wish you knew when you started this journey? So if you could like literally rewind to the first day you thought about doing this, what is one thing you really wish you knew?
Ooh, can I start with something else? And actually, I'm gonna flip it, and I'm gonna actually say, what I wish I didn't know, and I didn't. But you want to know why, and I'll tell you why afterwards. What I think it's even more important is, I wish I didn't know what it was going to take, and I didn't. And here's the reason why: because if I did, I wouldn't have ever started Sweep South with Ash. Because it's too difficult.
Yeah.
I hope you like that, because.
Real. It's more real than anything anyone's actually ever said on the podcast. I won't lie. Like,
It's too hard. So you say, well, it's too hard. What does that make you superhuman? No. There's an aspect to entrepreneurship, to entrepreneurs, that is extremely important in this journey, and that is that you figure things out along the way. You really, really, really do. This is the reason why an investor, a venture capitalist, will never run a business. They won't. Like, and if they're smart enough, they will tell you this as well, for this exact reason, is that if they put it into the Excel sheet and try to write what the path to this is, to making Sweetsoft work, making Yoko work, making many other companies in the world work, and there would be no good path. On paper, it will tell you that it's not a good idea. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. But
I think the thing that's important that I wish I'd known and you know, borne in mind was, again, this importance of like your holistic self being brought to building your business. And I came out of like quite a hustle culture already. I was a management consultant before starting Sweetsoft, and then had studied for 10 years and completed a PhD, all of which involved like crazy levels of hard work. And I just, we just basically took it up a notch with Sweetsoft in the first, I would say, 4 or 5 years. Mm. And didn't think about, it was literally just like the, you know, hustle culture, put your head down and just execute, which is so the wrong way to build a business. And I think you get caught into this trap that is very convenient, I think, also for a lot of the ecosystem. You get caught into this trap that, again, says that like your self-worth is only tied to the success of your business. If you're not executing, you're wasting time. I hate being called a jockey. Like, I actually think it's pretty insulting. I'm not, you know, my job is not to like jump onto a horse as a human being, you know, and make money for you. Like, I'm, you know, I'm a whole person. I'm a whole holistic individual. And
there's more to it, right?
There's much more to it. That
sort of boxes it into a single dimension, yeah. Which is convenient, as you
yes.
say.
Yeah.
Convenience and communication, right? It's a good tweet. It's a good, but reality is a bit more complex, though,
but
isn't
also
it?
That if
and,
you,
and more beautiful than that, actually.
Yeah, and so, there's other things that you can work on, whether it's studying, exercise, meditation. These all will contribute to you being a better jockey, you know, or entrepreneur. But if you feel like your job is just to put your head down and do, and not look around, it's. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make sense, and I think it can be incredibly harmful to people. So mm-hmm. I just wish that notion of like, you know, take your time, build for the long term, build yourself, work on building yourself as an individual, as founders, as well as working on the business.
Yeah.
I think we made a lot of painful, very, very painful mistakes, and like, you know, we're very close to burnout a good few times, and we're like stuck in this trap of like, I'm so tired, but I need to keep on building.
So know thyself, I guess, whatever it is, know thyself in terms of like what you know, what your limits are. And I'm not talking about limits in terms of what you can accomplish, but in terms of immediate limits, again, coming down to, you know, using that energy wisely, because if you, as you mentioned, you burn out, it's not going to really matter how good your hustle was.
Yeah.
But I do believe, so it's not, I mean, to disagree a bit on one part, I think it's important. Is to actually say that at times the hustle is important and real.
Oh, 100%. No, definitely. You've got to work. You've got
to
work.
So that does ring. Yeah. It's necessary. But is your business for the next, if this is going to be a big thing, 10 years, 20 years idea, it can't be just hustle. It's got to, it's at some point, it's got to be the combination of the hustle with, you know, we know when to pick up our head and relook at, is this the right direction? Yes, it is. Yeah. Good. Okay, fine. What else is important here?
Yeah.
It's important to evaluate that. So, but again, it's an evolution of business. The beautiful thing about startups is you don't know all the answers.
Yeah.
You have to start. You have to listen to the business. And what does that mean to me? Listen to customers. Listen to, you know what I mean? And be willing to learn like crazy. Know you're going to be so right. I mean, it's so wrong at times. You know, I still look at some of the decisions I made even recently, and I'd be like, "Cheapers, what was I thinking?" Just it's embarrassing. But I put up my head, and I'm not shy about that. Like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. That's the culture that needs to be instilled, you know. And unfortunately, when people are coming into it, you know, if they're coming from school or they're coming from a, let's say, a larger corporate environment, and that they've been taught the thing of, like, you need to know the right answers. How do schools do it? You take a test, you take an exam. A failure means you are in trouble. You know, you're staying behind or whatever it means. It's a punishment, form of punishment. Mm. In a corporate environment, it's, again, it's the thing of, like, if I make this mistake, you know, it's going to be about me. I made that mistake. And so what do people do? They then tend to look for a consensus, right? Mm. And that, there's no bigger mistake than, it's a far bigger mistake than making a mistake, is to go ask everybody, what should we do on this? You know, why? Because that way, look, I asked everybody, it's not my fault. It should never, it shouldn't get to that. So that is what people need to sort of let go of, and it's not easy. But when starting a startup, that's absolutely critical to that, is to say, listen, it's not school, it's not big business.
Yeah, I think so much of it is a reflection of yourself as well. Like, so much of what you build is a reflection of yourself. And and to grow a business, you've got to be able to grow yourself and look around. And I think, you know, you said know yourself. To know yourself, you've got to introspect. Like, I, you know, people often talk about grit as an essential trait of entrepreneurs. It's incredibly important. And I think, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I definitely don't want to create the perception that you don't need to work super hard and super smart, like both of them consistently. But I think introspection is probably one of, and perceptiveness is probably one of the, for me, one of the most important traits of entrepreneurs.
And you said that well, right? How do you do that? Close your eyes. Remove the happy, the successful elements of a company right now. What do you, how do you feel? Who is Alan now? Who is Aisha now? It's critical to do that sometimes. Yeah, like, absolutely necessary. Yeah. Because it will enable you to see that you are in fact an individual and have a lot to bring this world. Outside of business, you know, in friendships, in everything. I think it's, you said that well, and I think I've learned that from you of recent notes. That's something incredibly important to think about. I mean, as entrepreneurs, you leave that aside again, and that's that notion of, like, jockey, because you're like, that's what it is, your job is, you know, charts to the right. And those are important, critical to the business, of course, and we do focus on those, but it's more than that. It's more than that, and that's the important, I think.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Cool,
man.
Okay.
To access previous episodes of this podcast, but also gain access to other shows on our network, please visit lucha.com.